Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Show here, bring up anything you want to talk about. The number is 603-283-6160 as we kick off the third hour of the show. Joining you tonight is Ian.
Aria.
And Mark.
And you can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features we have waiting for you there. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. We're going to go back into your phone calls and thoughts, and then Ari is going to tell us about Coinbase apparently countersuing the Securities and Exchange Commission. That's coming up here. Let's go first to Major Pain in the Butt. He's calling us from New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
You can call me in the butt. Ian, I wanted to ask you, when you called me an a-hole the other day, well, what did I do specifically for you to call me that?
I don't recall. I think you were complaining because some people on the show don't get along with you real well, and I was saying that if you, or maybe it was somebody else complaining about you, and I was saying that, well, you know, if you're being an a-hole, then somebody might be kind of not so nice back to you. And I think there have been times when you've been kind of an a-hole. I just don't recall the details.
You referred to me as an a-hole, but you don't know specifically what I did.
Yeah, you've called thousands of times or whatever on this show, or at least several hundred times.
It's hard to remember. Can you remember one?
No, I barely remember what I had for breakfast yesterday.
You can't remember one.
I can help out. Like a week ago, I said something back to you. You said, ha, 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 enjoy prison, Arya.
Yeah, that's, there you go. That's an a-hole move.
Chicken and egg. Chicken and, have you heard the chicken and egg? What did you say immediately before I snidely said, enjoy prison, Arya?
Oh, David, I was nice to you years ago when you called in complaining about the lesbian police Nazis who were oppressing you. Because I don't remember what I said, dude.
Well, you remember you remember the other part. Why don't you remember the what you said? You remember the rest of it just fine.
I remember that because Ian hung up on you because of that, and I was like, ha ha, that was funny. And I tend to remember things that are funny. But like David, this stuff.
An eye for an eye will make the whole world blind.
David, where Ian called you an a-hole and I said something mean to you, those are out of our memories. Like as soon as they happen, like we give you no thought whatsoever.
And he's been thinking about it for days. Apparently,
I don't believe you. And are you still there?
Right here.
Okay, because usually you do the radio jerk technique where you silence the caller while you make comments about them. So I'm surprised that you're
usually we'll just go ahead and hang up on you and then make comments.
No. You, like you said, let me cite Ian. I've called thousands of times, and usually you don't just hang up on me. You will silence me so I can't respond to anything you're saying so that you can say anything that you want and you get no feedback from me about it.
Well, that's amazing, David. I have almost never seen Ian do that.
We'll get feedback from you every time you call back, David, which you're still allowed to do, even though you've been kind of rude sometimes. And that, you know what? Sometimes you have a bad day. Everybody has bad days. But do you think there's a reason why no other radio show in your area will let you call?
That's not true. Well, now you made another false statement, didn't you? What other radio stations don't allow me to call?
As I understand it, there's multiple stations from which you've been banned.
Yeah, there was this whole
multiple, not
Nazi
every
thing.
Other.
You have been banned from a lot of radio stations, right?
Name one.
You don't know their names.
Kiva, KKOB, the one station that brought criminal charges against you.
The very first one. Okay, Kiva, the very first one you said, I talk on there all the time.
Oh, do you?
Call up Eddie and ask him.
Oh, okay. Normally you insult Eddie on the air on this show. The owner of Kiva.
Did you say normally I insulted
him? Yeah, normally you're pretty insulting towards him. In my opinion.
Then what did back it up? I don't have time for this,
and I don't remember. Thank you for the call.
We don't remember, dude. We look. Within 3 minutes, I'm going to completely have forgotten everything we just talked about.
Yeah.
And it's not because I smoke pot. It's because that conversation was meaningless to me, and it's not worth the brain cells that it would take to dedicate it to memory.
And my recollection, having spoken with Eddie, who is the program director of the station we're on there, Kiva, in Albuquerque, is that he absolutely knows who David in New Mexico is, and he didn't really seem to appreciate him as a caller. That's just my recollection. Maybe, you know, maybe that's just in my head or something like that. But
I wonder what David called about. We'll never know.
Apparently it was just complaining.
I think that this is that a certain number of callers don't understand how a radio show works. And I'm not claiming David's one of them, but I think that he can lean that direction at times. And the radio show is intended, any radio show is intended to entertain a large swath of audience. If you're talking about yourself, I rarely talk about me on the air. Now, I may give my observations about the things I've seen, but I rarely talk about me because I'm not that interesting. What people care about is things that affect them and their lives. And hopefully by reading news articles and bringing up things that, you know, can potentially affect people's lives, we're talking about their lives and things that are relevant to them. And if you're not talking about that, you're not building a radio program. You're self-aggrandizing or you're navel-gazing or you're doing something else that is uninteresting.
David, I realize you're not still there, but you may still be listening. I also have to make a correction. I'm pretty sure recently you were in one of my dreams where, I mean, you weren't like physically in it, but you said something, and I'm not joking. You ran for a judge position, and you won it, and you called the show to tell us about that, and that was an interesting call, because it was like, you who hate judges, who get off on like being mean to judges, you decided you were going to, this is not an office that you run for, but in dreams, what the hell?
I think the judges are pretty mean to him, which
probably
turns back around on them.
I think he'd be a great judge. I think the people of Albuquerque or wherever it is that he's at would probably be well served by a man that spends this much time thinking about fairness.
I don't know. I'm not sure he can put himself aside long enough to be a fair.
I'd be interested in seeing what would happen.
Yeah, I think the call he was referring to, and again, it's hard to remember, you know, a week ago, but I think somebody was complaining about how we were treating David at some point, and I think what I pointed out was if you are being a jerk, there's a good chance we're going to feed it back to you. But generally, we're pretty fair here on Free Talk Live. We'll let anybody call in about absolutely anything they want to. And even if you're a jerk to us, you can still call again. You know?
Also,
we don't ban people for being jerks on this show. That doesn't happen here.
And beefing has a long storied history on radio and probably podcasts too. You got a beef with Free Talk Live? Welcome. We've let people call in and beef with us for years to the point that they go absolutely bananas and threaten to hurt people.
Yeah, and this being mean to David is not a new phenomenon. I mean, that didn't just spontaneously start happening, right? There's a long history of David calling the show and being antagonistic toward people. Like, for the first year that Bonnie was on the show, every time she spoke, he just insulted her.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point. I'd forgotten about that, too. Let's continue here. Sarah, who is usually much more kind and compassionate.
Now, Sarah was sometimes mean to.
Even though we don't always agree with her. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Sarah does not dish it out a tenth of what she gets it on the show.
Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to be tactful. You just can't shut the door on you by arguing and being with the host. You lose the total opportunity to, you know, bring up any of your viewpoints. Even though that you disagree, I did make a mistake like that KKOB, mouthing them off, and they don't want to put you on, that you don't have any view whatsoever. So even though that I'm in disagreement with you or other hosts, you know, you have to figure out you outweigh. Okay, I'm going to get along with him no matter what, because I'll bring up that panhandlers will be thrown away from medians that are less than 4 feet wide in Albuquerque. So, I mean, so they're standing at medians like 2.5 feet right now. So they're going to make it illegal. They have to be at least 4 feet wide. And
she just segued right into that topic. Man, I got to hand it to you, Sarah. No, but your point here, Sarah, is that even though you don't agree, you understand you still have to be kind and courteous to be able to get your point across without having it devolve into some sort of a shouting match or whatever. And we don't have shouting matches with Sarah. We may disagree with Sarah. We may question her on her beliefs, and we may question her with some, you know, pretty tough questions. But it, you know, at the end of the day, it has been at least a cordial conversation.
I missed her while she was gone.
I would like to tell off all of these hosts, as far as I'm concerned. You know, but is it worth it for me? Well, then how am I going to talk about speeding cameras or red light violators that kill me every day? You know what I mean? I'll lose that opportunity. So
you're absolutely right, Sarah. The person who's winning is the person that's controlling the conversation. And if you can control those talk show hosts, those people who talk for a living, you truly are winning at a whole new level. And I wish everyone would just stop and think for just 1 second how a person who apparently is too crazy to work can control an entire radio program like this. Like you, ladies and gentlemen, you're at the effect of the world. Sarah is at the top.
I don't know about the control of it or things like that, but I just know that you have to use tact. You have to think beyond and just going by spreading out, doing what your repulse emotional feeling tells you, because you have a greater purpose. And actually, I really want to talk about the Catholic charities, and I've been hearing about the Catholics being targeted for sex abuse and all that, but when I was homeless, I remember these Catholics, they housed me, they fed me, they were feeding the homeless. And then I ended up going to the Catholic services and stuff like that, the Catholic, just because of that. I stayed in a Catholic women's home. And then the sisters that were volunteering, I think they're just Catholic. They're just so kind, and you know, it just warmed me up to Catholicism because of their deeds, you know?
Hmm. So did you become a Catholic?
No, I believe that I'm what you call a Unitarian. Ah. I think that I'm a brother and sisters of every faith, whether they're Islam or whatever they are. We're just all united under the umbrella of God's religion. You know what I mean? I considered the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses or Native American faith are all family under one God.
That's a nice way to look at it. I like the Unitarians for that.
And Sarah,
it's not a Unitarian.
The Catholic Church has certainly done some good things, right? But just today, and the only reason I'm bringing this up because I literally saw it today on Drudge Report, is an article about how more than 450 Catholic clergy in just the state of Illinois sexually abused nearly 2,000 children since 1950.
Jeez.
So maybe they gave you some meals and they provided you with a shelter, but they sexually abused 2,000 children.
In one state.
In a single state.
70 years. Sarah, thank you for calling in tonight. I definitely appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. Of course, you can bring up anything. Since we were talking about radio, Mark...
Why is there a statute of limitations on child rape?
Surprising.
Attorney General Quame Rolls said at a news conference that investigators found that 451 Catholic clergy abused 1,997 children in Illinois between 1950 and 2019, though he acknowledged that the statute of limitations has expired in many cases, and that those abusers will never see justice in a legal sense.
Well, I would say that in part it's because evidence can't be brought. So in many cases, if new evidence can be, introduced, then you can open something up again. But just the testimony of a thing that occurred, I mean, you know, people have strange memories. Memory's a funny thing. Something people remember. Everybody who's listening to me right now remembers something that never occurred. Now, hopefully it's not something as terrible as child rape. But they all remember something that never really happened. And
yeah, it would be nice to have evidence in these cases rather than just the say-so of somebody. Oh, my God, 50 years ago, Pastor fill-in-the-blank molested me. Oh, do you have any proof? No. Okay, well.
Well, this appears to be most of their evidence is like internal church documents from what I can tell. So, yeah. But I mean,
can we talk about what a Unitarian is real quick?
Yeah, you said that Sarah's definition was not good.
Well, she can make up, she can use words and call those words whatever we want, she wants.
I know Unitarians are an interfaith church, but I don't know much else about
Unitarian
it.
Universalists. Is a brand that sort of has taken its own tack. But Unitarian specifically has a meaning, which is that it is the opposing view to Trinitarian. So it's the belief that God is one being, not three beings at once. And I would claim to be a Unitarian versus a Trinitarian, because this whole Trinity thing is a bunch of rambling nonsense that was intended to kick out the Arians 1700 years ago. And, you know, it's not even worth talking about. The average person having any argument about the Trinity versus the unity of God doesn't have any idea what they're talking about. Because
oh, I know. We've experimented with that on the show. I invited people once to call in and please explain the Trinity to me. None of them successfully did so.
Now, I'll make this point, though, that the Muslims are probably the most successful Unitarians out there.
Yeah, that's true.
This is essentially what Muhammad was rambling on about over and over again. Because if you've read the Quran.
The main point of the Quran.
Yeah, the main point of the Quran is God is a single being, not three, then a triune being or whatever.
Yeah, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad as his prophet is like the fundamental saying in Islam. The other one is submit to God, right?
It could be. I also would like to point out that Allah as a word is also used by Christians who speak Aramaic. Mm-hmm. Allah is just the word for God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Christians, Muslims, and Jews who happen to speak that particular language use when referring to God.
Yeah, but it's incorrect. You know, God is a type of being, a divine type of being. Realistically, the God that they're referring to is either going to be called Yahweh or El or Adonai. Adonai is the one that I kept trying to remember the last few weeks.
Why not Allah? I
mean, El Shaddai.
El Shaddai was the rest of that. El was like the, I don't remember, it fractured from, it started off as El, and then it became El Shaddai, and then and then Yahweh married his mother with the whole Asherah thing. And
but why not Allah? I mean, that is...
Because that just means God. That's like saying, my God is God, instead of my God is Zeus, or my God is, you know, Vishnu. The God's name is not Allah, or is not God, or is not deity, or is not...
Okay.
Magical being who lives
You're saying
in
Allah
sky.
Is
That's
a generic
type.
Term.
Right.
For God. Okay.
I don't know about Allah specifically. Mark said that about Allah. I don't know about Allah. But
that's what it means.
The rest of them do just mean God. And like the God of the Bible, the God of Judaism, and presumably the God of Islam, they have names. A name. Multiple names, really. But
they don't spend much time in the English translation. Talking about God's name. They spend very, very little time talking about that.
And
the assumed premise is that there is one God. Now, the God of the Old Testament transforms from El Shaddai, or El, to Yahweh in the first couple of books there, whenever Moses shows up. Moses is an Yahweh acolyte, but Abraham's an El acolyte.
It is very weird, right? Because all of these were like regional deities at that time, and Yahweh was just the regional deity.
Well, they weren't monotheistic in those at that time.
They all believed in all the other gods. Yahweh was a storm deity, but he was the child.
War.
I heard storm.
Okay.
But a storm and a war deity is probably the same. But he was the son of El Shaddai, the high god, the one, right? They all were. And there was this whole council of gods. And all of this is actually like in the Bible.
No kidding.
And then Yahweh was like, he went to the council, and this is in Psalms, to appeal his case or to make his case about Israel being conquered or something like that. And he told the other gods there, you're going to fall, you're going to be mortals, and you're going to be slain. And from what I can tell, if you believe the Bible is a historically accurate thing, then your little regional storm god killed all the other gods and then married his mom.
Let's go to the phones here. I got this caller on the line. What's your name?
Hey, this is Chad.
Chad, you're on the air.
Yeah, Ella was originally the chief of the Canaanite pantheon, which that led into eventually what we would call Judaism today. And Yahweh was the son of El, who became eventually Zeus or Thor to the Nordic people. But El initially was the chief of the Canaanite pantheon, which actually spawned the rest of the pagan religions. He would be Kronos to the Greeks, or Jupiter to the, Saturn to the Romans, but which is because they all sprang from that. But actually, why I was calling tonight was I'm actually pretty interested in the fact that RFK Jr. is coming to Porkfest.
Really?
I've heard. I was actually wondering if you guys had any information on this. I was wondering if RFK Jr. had requested to come or if he was invited to come.
Five people, I've actually been watching the chat, so I can answer this. Five people worked to get RFK Jr. there.
Really?
One of them succeeded. So,
okay.
These people were not affiliated with the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Mm-hmm. They were just people who wanted RFK Jr. to come speak there. And so they kept reaching out to him. They kept, bugging his people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them was successful. And they, worked it out with Dennis Prout or whatever as sort of a middleman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know, is the format that he's doing, is he just talking to people, or is this going to be like a question and answer, like town hall type thing?
Well,
I can look because the Porcupine Freedom Festival schedule is probably up.
Almost every speaker at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, I think, is expected to take questions. I would be shocked if no questions were allowed in this particular case. That would be very unusual for the sort of typical format, although RFK was able to demand no guns on the premises, so people are going to be searched, apparently, when they go into the pavilion, if they want to see this,
that's
this speech.
Up.
So,
well, if you know the Rogers Campground area, that doesn't make him too safe.
No, it doesn't.
It's like downhill from,
and my question would be,
it's like on a mountainside.
It's security.
Let's just stop right there, okay?
Yeah. At what point do they do this? Can you not walk into the pavilion? Can you stand outside the pavilion? Because that's what I would like to see: is all of the armed libertarians. Now you've got an armed libertarian gang standing right outside the pavilion.
Yeah, they have not revealed. And Chad, if you want to continue the discussion, hang on. They haven't revealed the security plan. I was asking questions about it previously, and obviously they're not going to, so you'll just have to figure it out on the day.
I suspect it'll be a trust thing, knowing the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Trust thing? No, they're going to have agents there. They're going to have agents searching people coming into that building, as I understand it. That's what I've heard. Like, they're going to have probably off-duty police officers or private security.
That can't be real.
Will be my guess. Because
Dennis doing?
I bet you they're going to close the doors of the pavilion, too. There's more coming up here.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Ron DeSantis will launch his presidential bid with Elon Musk. Correspondent Von Hilliard says DeSantis is using Musk's platform because of Twitter's reach.
He has access to millions of Americans, a platform that, frankly, a political operation could not have access to.
Several reports say the Republican Florida governor will announce that he's running for president live on Twitter Wednesday night in a conversation with Musk. DeSantis trails former President Trump by a wide margin in every major national poll. The days of Netflix subscribers sharing their passwords are coming to an end. The streamer began emailing customers Tuesday about its new password policy. Subscribers are given two options now. Transfer a profile to a new membership or share an account with someone outside their household for about an extra $8 a month. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show. Bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Aria, Mark joining you here tonight. You can join us online, of course, over at freetalklive.com. And you can enjoy the various features that we have waiting for you there. If you like the show, you appreciate the work that we do, then we invite you to become a member of our AMPS program, like Timothy Conrad. And by the way, oh, sorry, read that wrong. Timothy Kennard. Timothy, who is a platinum supporter of AMPS. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It is a way to get behind the show directly to help us continue to spread the message of freedom, liberty, peace, cryptocurrency, alternatives to the violent status quo that we have. He's platinum, by the way, which means he's doing $25 a month. So thank you, Timothy, for that level of support. We definitely appreciate it. We only ask for $5, so definitely going way above and beyond the call of duty. But you get access to some cool perks if you join up, like access to the AMP Only podcast, which has the full radio show without any recorded ads every single night for you there. Just go over to amps.freetalklive.com to get signed up through our Patreon. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We got Chad still on the line here with us. Chad, you were saying you're interested in the fact that RFK Jr. is going to be speaking at Porkfest. Are you just like interested in a sort of curiosity, like you can't believe it's happening, or interested in you're actually interested in RFK and you want to hear what he has to say? What is your interest exactly?
Well, I think I would like to question RFK Jr. on a number of things. I mean, his family is very interesting. It's a very old family. I don't know if you know this, but they trace their lineage back to the Kingdom of Ormond directly. They're very into their heritage, their genealogy.
Hmm. And, I don't know what that is. One of the,
it was a kingdom in Ireland. It was called Ormond.
Ah, okay.
You want to Google it sometime. They go way back. But
I don't think anyone should be interested in this guy. And I mean,
well, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could
tell. Hell no.
Him.
He's a politician.
Well, I've got the Porkfest schedule put up here, and the description of it is just absolutely disgusting.
Let's hear it.
For whom, if you haven't totally given up on D.C. ever reforming, description. The cronies control D.C. and you can't do anything about it. Or can you? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will speak to how the established interests incite fear over emergencies real, imagined, and manufactured, which they can then exploit to further their profits and power. The audacity to come to the Porcupine Freedom Festival and give a speech about fear while being so afraid of guns that you're not allowing people into the pavilion. Libertarians should boycott this in the maximum. We should stand in his way and prevent him from entering the campground.
You might be afraid of guns a little bit, too. I don't know that. I mean,
it goes on.
I wouldn't agree with him necessarily doing that. But honestly, I mean, do you really have to be libertarian to come to Porkfest?
No, but you don't. But you can't make people do unlibertarian things. You can't.
Well, it's private property. I mean, it's a private function. So
okay, well, let's stop at that real quick, because it is private property in that it belongs to Rogers Campground. It belongs
right.
to Crosby. Now, Dennis Pratt has been saying a lot that it's his pavilion. It's not. It's Free State Projects Pavilion. He's been appointed to represent it and oversee his interests. Mm-hmm. But he seems to be going on a little bit of a power trip in regard to my pavilion, right? But, yes, okay, so it's Free State Projects Pavilion for this particular festival or whatever. Mm-hmm. All of that's well and good, but we're not saying they can't do this thing, right? No one's saying, look, you're not allowed to do this. We're saying you shouldn't, because it violates basic concepts of libertarianism. It's offensive to libertarians.
And the FSP say that about other events as well, and it is what it is.
No other event has said you can't bring guns to our event.
It's not, that doesn't interest me as much as, I find it interesting to try and question someone like that, because.
So are you going
to
go?
Fine.
Are you going to attend and disarm?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, I'm coming, definitely. Yeah.
To attend this private high security event, you will need to leave your gun behind and be screened.
There you go.
Come at 10
for
the screening.
I'm not going to bring my gun anyway. I'm driving from pretty far, and I don't want to cross state lines with it. But
come at 10 for the screening, and then we'll hear RFK.
Are you sure you're qualified to go to Porkfest? I mean, you're not outraged that some Washington, D.C. officials coming to talk to us libertarians?
Mark, that's
Mark,
not
you got to turn your mic down, man. You're clipping when you're yelling.
RFK Jr., while I don't trust him, this is his first time running for office. So he's 69 years old, so he's not exactly a politician, I suppose he's an insider. I mean, he's a Kennedy, but
he's a lawyer, right? Isn't that his thing?
He is. He was an environmental lawyer.
What could he possibly have to say that's interesting? He's never been elected to office.
I'll tell you what he's
going to
say. Well, that doesn't matter if he hasn't been elected to office. There's plenty of people who have interesting things to say that haven't been elected to office. I mean, he's going to have an interesting speech because he knows his audience. He spoke at the Bitcoin conference, and he knew his audience there, so he made it sound like he was pro Bitcoin, and when he talks to the libertarians, he's going to hit on all the highlights where we would agree with him, and he's going
to
leave out the
pull punches.
Huh?
He doesn't seem to pull punches. I mean, when what he says,
why should he disarms everyone?
I don't necessarily trust him, but what he says, I mean, his rhetoric. I mean, this guy. I mean, he's come out and said, that the CIA was behind assassinating his father and his uncle, which is very interesting because most of the Kennedy family will not say that, and he's in favor of disbanding the CIA. He's come out against the World Economic Forum. Obviously, he wrote The Real Fauci, which was a pretty detailed account of how Anthony Fauci has utilized his powers within the government to create tyranny.
Yeah, I heard about it, but I just can't read it because it says right there on the cover that you have to put your guns away before you can read it. I just can't.
Look, you can probably find things like what Chad's identifying here is some of the things that this guy is going to likely point out to the crowd, right? Like that he agrees with us on this and that and this and that. And, you know, if you like his perspectives, you think he's better than Biden, he would appreciate your support. You can get behind his campaign. Here's his campaign website. He'll pass the hat and collect some donations and then, you know, shake some hands, kiss some babies, and get in the limousine and take off to his next campaign appointment. I mean, this is just another campaign stop for him, just like it is for the Republicans who have been slated to attend this particular event. The Vivek psychopath who wants to drop bombs on Mexican cartels. This other guy, Larry Elder, who's another fake libertarian Republican, that he's apparently going to be speaking there as well. So, I mean, all these people are there to just pander to the libertarians. They're not libertarians.
I've not seen him pander. I think he's I mean, as a Democrat, he's certainly not pandering, because he's very, very much going against the grain of what they say. And again, it's not that I trust him. I certainly do not. However, he's, I mean, if you listen to him speak, if you can, he has a very severe voice, disease that makes it difficult to understand him, but, he doesn't really change his opinions that readily. The main thing he's changed his opinion on, interestingly, was, global warming. He was a very, adamant, supporter of, you know, global warming policy, and he's now kind of changed his tune where he said, he literally came out just a few weeks ago and said that the solution to environmental problems is, and I quote him, free market capitalism, right? You don't typically hear Democrats say that kind of stuff.
That is strange. I'll give you that.
I mean, he sounds like he's just the Democrats' version of Trump. He's this outsider. He's going to drain the swamp. Mm. He's different. He tells it like
not
it is.
Exactly. I mean, Trump's a demagogue, and he's not really. I wouldn't describe RFK's rhetoric as demagoguery necessarily. Like I said, he seems like he's sticking with his principles. Again, I'm very, very cautious.
What are his principles?
Well, I mean, it's apparently free market capitalism. Apparently,
Well, say one tweet about that is hardly standing by one's principles.
Yeah.
According for that one subject, but he seems.
If you expect Aria and Ian to give one inch on anybody who's running for an office outside of New Hampshire, you are wasting your time.
Not at all. Like, I had no issue with a lot of people.
Pointing a circus at the sky. This is a waste of time.
No, look,
if you don't want to hear our Tay speak, don't go to Porkfest. Go to the pavilion.
I'm not going
to. Do whatever you want.
Mark, you're mischaracterizing the whole thing here. I don't care that he's. I mean, he could be Joe Biden.
I mischaracterize it because I left my guns at the door. I can't hear you. My guns are at the door.
I can't hear you
because your mic is clipping because you keep shouting into it. But our issue is very specifically. That is unlibertarian to come to. Like, who is this guy that we should care that he should come in and make demands of us? The problem here is the libertarians are going, oh my goodness, we got our first real politician. We're the big boys now.
Yeah.
And this is the beginning. This could very well become the beginning of the end for Porkfest. It becomes more and more mainstream and taken over by the mainstream parties. That's a big concern.
RFK is going to get hammered. I know I don't intend on pulling punches. I don't know exactly what I'm going to ask him yet, because, like I said, his rhetoric is fairly good.
I don't think he's going to take questions.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't
take
questions.
That's why I was asking that.
Yeah.
If he just doesn't take questions, that's really lame. But if he does, I'm going to be up there because I really.
What are you going to ask
interesting.
Him?
He's not.
I don't know.
He's not letting people bring guns. Why would you let them bring questions?
That's even more dangerous,
right? It sounds like a joke, but I'm being serious.
I love RFK enough.
I
might be a registered Democrat and vote for him.
Well, I agree with his rhetoric. Like I said, I don't trust him. So I'm trying to formulate what I'm going to ask him. I will certainly be there, and it will be. I find it really.
Well, let us know how it goes.
Yeah, because I won't be going to that event.
Well, you'll be at Porkfest, right?
I don't know at this point.
Well, you don't know. Yeah. Aria, you're going to be there.
I will be.
Hopefully
I will be boycotting this event.
Right. Even though you aren't allowed to be armed anyway under the government's rules, you don't have any guns to give up, but I don't want to go and watch a politician speak.
Well,
I mean,
there's
people,
that too. But I've seen other politicians.
Is he really a politician?
Yes, by definition.
Technically, he is.
Yes, by definition, he's a politician.
I told you, man. He's just his version of Trump. That's it. He's not really a politician.
Yeah,
he's not an
politician.
Politicians at Porkfest. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of people have ran for office, including you, Aria, and I think Ian as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who run for office.
Politicians, all of them.
And if you Google me, it says politician.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not happy about it, but it does.
That's true.
Does it?
Hey, Chad, let us know if you figure out what you're going to ask this guy.
I will. I'll call back.
Thanks for the call, man.
I would implore libertarians to just not go to this event. Like, don't let this set the precedent that establishment candidates can just come in and make demands of us and we'll just roll over and take it. No, if you want us to hear your message, you're going to bow to our demands, not the other way around.
I don't even think they should be on the main stage. And I understand that I've taken some heat from the organizer of Porkfest, Dennis, in this case. I've invited him, by the way, on Free Talk Live to have this conversation. There's some things he says he wants to talk about, but he said that he didn't want to come on Free Talk Live because it wasn't a quote-unquote podcast, and he would prefer to have a podcast. And I said to him, well, you know, we got rid of two breaks an hour. We're pretty podcast-like at this point. We can dig into the topics. We're not being broken up all the time.
There is literally a podcast, too.
It is a podcast, but you know, I get what he says.
We won World's Best Podcast month after month in, like, 2003, 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been a podcast for 20 years.
Sure, sure. But I understand. I think what he means, though, is he wants an uninterrupted format, and we have far fewer interruptions now than we have historically ever done. So I feel like it's a fine venue for it, but so far he hasn't agreed to come on and talk about it.
How many guests do we give a full hour to anyway? Like, that's only one break that's going to concern him.
I know. I know.
I'm happy that RFK is coming, and I don't think that it's unreasonable to, when somebody's running for president, that, you know, they're going to be surrounded by Secret Service, that people have to be unarmed inside of a pavilion. You know, if you don't like it,
it's unreasonable because it's a libertarian event where guns are encouraged, guns are allowed, guns are welcomed, people are open carrying, they're exercising their right to bear arms, and this guy's coming in there trying to say, well, not at my speech you won't, and he got away with it.
Yeah, that's the real issue here.
And that's an embarrassment. But further, it's embarrassing.
We'll see what the market says.
We will. It's embarrassing to me to have the world's premier libertarian convention, basically, at this point. I mean, Anarchapulco, I think, used to have that title, but I believe Porkfest took it from Anarchapulco because they kind of fell off the radar after COVID. They still exist, but Porkfest has hit, I think, 3,000 attendees, or at least close to it, in the last year. They're shooting for 3,000 this year. They haven't sold out yet, so you can still get tickets, porkfest.com. I have not boycotting the event. I'm not telling people to boycott the event. I still think it's going to be a great event, but to me it's a black eye to dedicate any main stage time to people like RFK, Vivek, and the rest of them. Tulsi, she's apparently going to be there.
Awesome. And, I can't wait to see Tulsi. I drove across the state in New Hampshire to see Tulsi.
Is Tulsi going to be my libertarian?
Am I embarrassing to you, Ian?
Yes, you are.
Mark, you're perpetually embarrassing to us.
You were such an embarrassment to Porkfest that they kicked you out for several years.
No, it didn't have anything to do with that.
That had
to do with some volunteers that were
protesting.
Is Tulsi
Gabbard demanding a gun-free pavilion?
As I understand it, no.
Is Vivek?
It's only RFK.
Tulsi will break down your AR for you right there on stage.
That's the only issue. Look, and when I say boycott this, I mean boycott the event. Don't boycott the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's great. Go. Have a great time. Just do something else.
There's a ton of things to do.
Yeah,
you don't have to go to the pavilion. But I think it's sad because the pavilion should be the highlight of the event. These should be, you know, it should be filled with libertarian activists specifically from New Hampshire that are making a difference. So Ian and Jody Underwood, perfect example of two people who should, and are, by the way, they are scheduled for the main stage. They should be up there. people that are actually out there, they, for listeners that don't know, they were behind the big controversy last year in Grafton, or sorry, was it Grafton? No, it's...
I think it was Grafton.
No, it's the town Croydon. That they live in, Croydon, New Hampshire, where they managed to cut the school budget by 50%, and then the status rallied back and took it back and undid the cuts. It was this big controversy. They've got a lot of things to say about that. It's an interesting discussion that they should be able to have from the main stage. That's the kind of stuff that should be focused on, the people who are the movers and the shakers here in New Hampshire. And by the way, I've said this for a long time. This isn't something new. Like, it bugs me when somebody like Dave Smith, who is this libertarian comedian guy, he's got like a lot of... You know, he's got a lot of clout. You know, there's a lot of people that
for
really,
some weird reason,
that really love this guy, and he's on Joe Rogan. And I'm not going to deny his success, and I understand why the Free State Project puts people like him on the main stage. But to me, it's embarrassing when the guaranteed, you know, the question's going to get asked, that when it comes to the Q&A, Dave, when are you moving to New Hampshire? And then he gives excuses for why he's never going to, you know, why he's not interested in moving to New Hampshire, why he's not going to move to New Hampshire. And it's just like,
you make really good points, because, like, it suggests that we can't get local libertarians. And, like, I remember that poor college-age girl who went around and she had five questions she wanted to ask libertarians.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get libertarians to shut up, man. If you walk through the Rogers campground and you ask libertarians, hey, you want to give a speech at 2 o'clock? Almost every single one of them go, oh, yeah, absolutely. So you can absolutely fill the main stage with libertarians who are in New Hampshire all day, every day. So,
I've listened the whole time what you've got to say here, and I think you've got some interesting points. However, the main stage is the biggest venue at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and it seems to me that the main stage ought to be reserved for the place where the most people are going to want to go. What if they tried out in one of their little side tents local activists doing local things and see what that draws? If it fills it, it gets a bigger tent, and if it fills that, then it gets the main stage.
Why don't we reverse the roles and put the political candidate put out on their on the side stage?
We already know that RFK can draw, because he does.
Okay, so when he fills his arena, then we can take it from the libertarian who's speaking in the pavilion, right? I'm saying you're automatically given RFK or whoever the bigger stage, so obviously they're going to put more butts in the seats, because that just instinctively to people says, this is where the show is, where there's more seats.
The caller didn't call in about Jody and Ian Underwood. As amazing of a story that is, and frankly, they should be on the main stage, but... To fill the main stage with rambling kooks from New Hampshire, I don't think
that's really insulting.
Yeah,
look,
that's really insulting.
I lived there for 15
years. You don't think these people are kooks? You don't think RFK, Vivek, and these other crazy psychopaths that want to murder people around the world are kooks? That's the most embarrassing thing. It's one thing to put Dave Smith, who is arbitrarily a libertarian, even though he recently spoke out against immigration freedom, so I don't know about that guy, but it's one thing to put a purported libertarian on the stage. It's another thing to put a psychopath like Vivek Ramaswamy, or whatever his name is, who wants to actually start a hot war with drug cartels in Mexico, to actually give him any space on the top libertarian event of the year at the main stage is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd rather listen to any libertarian ramble about the gold dollar.
We do not need these people. And this comes back to what you were saying, Arya.
I don't know who Vivek is.
Good.
I'm sorry
that's all you need to know about him. He's one of the psychopaths running for president who wants
to drop bombs. I've heard you mention
him
a couple of times.
He wants to
and
drop
he's not
bombs.
Interesting to me.
In
I don't know anything about him.
Okay, I
but
got
I am
you.
Interested in RFK.
I don't
and
care who you're interested in and who you're not interested in. The fact is, there's some people who think that these people are important. And it comes back to what Arya was saying before about, it's like these libertarians, oh, these politicians, they're courting us. Vivek, RFK, Tulsi. Ooh, it's just so exciting to have all these national politicians coming and wanting to speak at our event. Oh, we've been legitimized by these politicians. And it's like, no, these people are not legitimizing the event. They're bringing
they
the
are
event
either.
Down.
They're well, I don't know. I wouldn't claim anything, but, you know, they'll go to the local diner and talk to people eating pancakes in the morning. I don't think that having them come to your event legitimizes anything.
Well, that's what
I suspect the opposite.
Some people have said that. I am pretty sure the organizer has alluded to the idea that, oh, look, see, this is proof that the libertarians are, you know, we're a force to be reckoned with. The politicians are coming to our trough. They want our attention. They want our time. And they do.
Exclude people, Ian, expect to be treated like somebody who excludes people.
They exclude us.
Hold
on, Mark. Just this last year, Jeremy Kaufman, one of the people on the board of the Free State Project, wasn't allowed into a debate for the U.S. Senate. The Republicans and Democrats are, they have a habit. They have an entire system set up to exclude libertarians. Why the hell are we platforming them when they will not give us the same courtesy?
That's a great point.
That is absolutely disgusting. You can't win a game.
I don't think it's going to change
anything.
You're
playing fairly and they're not.
These people are just politicians in New Hampshire here to pander to whatever group it is that they're talking to. They want the libertarians to vote for them in the primary. That's all that this is. They're going to construct their message to sound as libertarian as they possibly can, even though they themselves do not understand what libertarianism is. They have no interest in, you know, actually the principles that that bind us together. They just want to pander for votes. And they want to get donations, and they want to get votes, and it's so transparently obvious. And why anyone would want to give them the time of day, let alone put them on the main stage at the top libertarian event of the year is just absolutely, it's sad to me that this is happening.
Who should people vote for in the primary?
Whoever the hell they want to.
You mean for the presidential primary? It doesn't matter. It's not going to make a difference. We should secede from the United States.
Yeah.
Then get all the press you can get by having these.
We can't. They're too busy giving it to RFK Jr. and Vivek and Tulsi Gabbard.
I think Mark is suggesting we'll get press because some presidential candidates are at the event.
Yeah, and that's all they'll talk about is Tulsi Gabbard and Robert F. Kennedy and Vivek.
Yeah, but I think that's what they're talking about.
Panel.
The Free State Project can get press without having these politicians there. We've gotten press at this event before. CNN's come out to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. There's been a ton of local media.
More press is better. I saw you dress up as Peter Pan in order to get a little press from the guy with the funny ear.
Huh?
I think it means Stephen Colbert and the Robin Hood.
That's right.
And no, that press did not. That was not good press in hindsight.
It was terrible press. Ian would do anything for it.
It was hilarious, yes.
That's because they were reporting on us. In this case,
if RFK and Tulsi come there to speak.
They will not.
No, they will not, Mark. It'll be focused on the politicians.
Sadly,
I think
so.
It's disgusting. But hey, if that's what you want to spend your time doing, then go ahead and do it. Like I said, I'm not boycotting the event. I still think it's a great event. I just think this is a big misfire for the main stage. But I'm not programming it. We'll see you tomorrow night. Online in the meantime, freetalklive.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.